What's up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop. There it is on Shooting the Sports-ish. I'm Tony. This is, I always mess that up. This is Cam. We're here to talk about some hoops on the other side of this bumper. All right, I got to pull the ad read up here real quick, but we do have a sponsor here on Shooting the Sports-ish now, which I'm pretty excited about, through Podgo. If you guys don't know what Podgo is and you are a podcaster, what you need to do is learn what Podgo is, because it's actually really pretty awesome. They set you up where you can get coffee. Distracting. They set you up where you actually can do some, you find some sponsors that you can get a little bit of ad read revenue here. That's coffee is making Cam awesome. But today's episode is brought to you by the NBA store. How fitting. A new year brings the start of a new NBA season. No bubble. We'll talk about whether or not there will be one. I think Cam and I probably have the same opinion. But you can suit up with the latest gear to show your support for your team. I have my Mavs hat on here. I'll have to get me a jersey. Yes, they just lost to the Bucks, but I think they played pretty well considering three players have COVID. And you can be you might be sidelined from going to games in your area, but that doesn't mean you can't watch basketball from your couch in style. Get your jersey. Get your James Harden Nets jersey if that's what you fancy. Don't know why you would. But we're teaming up with the NBA and Podgo to bring up to 75% off of items for our listeners. Yeah, 75%. Pretty nuts. Go to podgo.co/NBA for up to 75% off select items. The NBA is where amazing happens, and we're going to talk about some amazing stuff here. That link will be in the description down below, so you can click on the link, or if you're just listening and you don't have time to go back through the description, which is weird because like you have time to go to a website. Seems like it'd be easier to click on the description, but either way, you know, do what you're going to do. Go to podgo.co/NBA. Get that 75% off. It's a great deal, and NBA merch is expensive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is awesome. Glad to be partnered with them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we're getting back in the swing of things here in the new year. Happy 2021 to everybody. Let's just go ahead and start with the bubble idea. I think it's a nice way to start this episode.
Yeah.
And I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it. It's mostly why I want to get into it. There are, as there has been for every sport, college basketball, college football, NFL, baseball, now the NBA, are all getting calls for a bubble. And I am going to be honest with you, Cam. I think it's actually at the point now where I think it's actually lazy sports commentary to have the discussion at all, which we're doing now, and it is lazy. But we're not going to.
At least we're acknowledging it before we go into it, so that makes us different.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just, like, yeah, in a perfect world, okay, let's say we're in this, like, utopia of a world where you can bubble. And let's say that we're utopian human beings, like very happy, balanced, everything's perfect, and technology actually is good enough for you to reconnect with your family and your loved ones. Mm-hmm. A bubble makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, humans aren't that way.
I think they have to go back to the bubble. I think with more and more people coming down with cases, I think they're going to be forced that way. And I don't think Adam Silver is against going back to the bubble because he's already done it once. I think he's just trying to figure out the best way so that doesn't happen. So they don't have to send everybody there or get to the spot where they were at last year and then bubble everybody going into the playoffs and just rerunning it back.
So I'm going to tell you that I think that that's not going to happen, and I don't think they need to do it. Here's why. They're still taking a break for All-Star break. I think they're taking a two-week break for All-Star break. The schedules are only made up to the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. So once you get to the All-Star break, one of two things is going to happen by then. You're talking about middle of February. Either A, the majority of the NBA will have had it, and we're okay. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it doesn't matter. Most likely, no one's going to get that sick. Most likely you're not going to have that big of an issue because you don't have fans in really any arenas right now either. So you're okay there. The other thing is they do have that 2 week break, which means we're talking about, it's a week, 2 weeks. I can't remember what it is, but let's say the league starts back up in March. You're talking about maybe 6 weeks of people being vaccinated at that point. We don't know how many vaccines are produced. We don't know how many people that are playing in the NBA. Will they have access to it? Will the NBA turn heel? So using wrestling terminology and actually just buy their own supply? Probably.
Well, ask Barkley, and they should be at the beginning of the line.
I'm not going to say that I have opinions on what he said. His reasoning for that is stupid, saying that NBA players pay more in taxes, so they should get vaccines. Like, use a better argument. NBA players are traveling all over the world, and they're seeing thousands of people probably every day.
Yeah.
So they should get a vaccine ahead of some other people. And this is also capitalist America. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't use a really crappy logic on a relevant topic.
Yeah. I just don't think they can do the bubble again. I think if you do the bubble again, the NBA players union is going to turn, and then you're going to have a lockout.
Yeah. Don't need the lockout, especially coming after last year.
That's what will happen. In my opinion, that's what will happen, because how do you convince the worst team in the NBA, the worst teams in the NBA, how do you convince the Detroit Pistons and the Minnesota Timberwolves that it's worth it to bubble those teams aren't making the playoffs. I know we're only 11 games in, but the Pistons are 2-9 and the Timberwolves are 3-8. The Timberwolves are 3-8 in the West. They're done.
Oh yeah.
Like they're not going to make a run. And Kat's going to be out for 2 weeks because he has COVID. So they're done. There's nothing going on for them. They're just trying to get Anthony Edwards working and go from there. But like, you're not going to be able to convince the teams that aren't vying for a playoff spot, that won't at all have a chance at a playoff spot and know they won't, to go into the bubble.
Yeah.
And how do you do it with 30 teams? You just can't. Like Disney World is filling those hotels now. They are opening up. You're in Florida. You know how it is. Disney's getting busier every day. They're starting to open more and more hotels. They might get all that money from the bubble, but where are these guys going to stay? You can't close down all the hotels and push your guests out like that. It's not an option anymore.
Yeah. No. This is definitely a different field plane that they were on from last year.
Right.
I see them playing the whole 72-game season, and I see them getting to the playoffs. I don't. Maybe they change sites. Maybe it's not in Florida this year. Maybe it's in another state that has stricter lockdown policies, and so they have more room to play. Maybe it's like a California. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But maybe since Florida's opened up and Texas has opened up and some of these other states have opened up, maybe they look at like Indianapolis or something, because that's where the NCAA tournament is going to be. So maybe they look for a city like that that's a little bit bigger, has all the room for you, but it's in more of a lockdown area that can be controlled.
Yeah, I just think that, and we won't spend too much more time on this, I just think that we saw that the MLB went through this exact same thing in the summer when things were a lot more unsure and there wasn't a vaccine around the corner. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, like, they didn't have to bubble and they got through it. And the NBA does have less personnel, so when people get these teams, we do have some issues. But this is going to happen for the foreseeable future when a league starts back up. Like, the NHL hasn't had it yet. They're going to, and they're not going to bubble. The NFL, when they start again, they're not going to bubble. When baseball starts, it's going to happen again. They're not going to bubble. They're going to push forward. Whether I think that's the right thing or not isn't really what matters. I just think that they're going to push through. And we saw that baseball was able to do it. They tightened up the protocols. 3-4 weeks from now, we're probably not even really concerned about a bubble, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think ultimately this will kind of play itself out, and they'll just work through what they need to work through. Yeah. I don't know any other non-grim way to say that. They're just going to let it pass, and that is what it is.
Yeah, most likely is what they will do. And I think it's fine to think they need to go into a bubble. And yes, that is ultimately what would be the best, but it's just not feasible for these players' mental health. It's tough. It's tough. But let's talk about the mega trade. James Harden was finally moved after being a complete dick on his way out. And yes, as a Rockets fan, Cam is very excited because you just don't want that poison in your team right now. No. But, you know, Harden was moved. He was flipped for the entire farm that the New York Jets Jets.
Whew. Wow.
What a fuck up.
That was tough. Take two.
Yeah. I'm not editing that.
No.
The Brooklyn Nets mortgaged their future. They flipped. They lost Caris LeVert in the deal, which I think is a terrible decision. They lost Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert goes to the Rockets. He gets flipped for Oladipo, which I think was a great move for both teams. Somehow the Cavs flipped, literally just swapped picks with the Nets and ended up with Jared Allen and Torian Prince.
Yeah.
Which, like, they ended up with Torian Prince, who is no worse than a great sixth man or a decent starter for you on a bad team. Mm-hmm. And Jared Allen, who is one of the most promising young centers in the league.
Yeah.
And the Nets, and yeah, the Nets end up with Harden.
Yeah.
On the same day, Kyrie said he's mad because he wasn't consulted with on anything. Kyrie, who didn't sound like he wanted James Harden to be there at the beginning of the season or the beginning of the like preseason. Let's talk about it, man. Tell me your thoughts. First, let's go from the Rocket standpoint.
Okay. So first off, I was all about this trade with Harden. I have been okay with us trading James Harden for probably the last 5 years. So I was good with us trading him. You could see the writing on the wall. He doesn't even show up for camp. And then when he shows up, he's got a little bit of a gut to him.
Sure.
He just flat out quit in the last game that he played for us before we ultimately ended up trading him. I mean, he just flat out quit. Like that's some of the laziest that's the laziest basketball I've ever seen from somebody that should be considered a good or elite player.
Leader. Don't forget the leader.
Well, we're getting to that. and so to see that happen, and then he told the locker room that they weren't any good, and then he got on the microphone and said, I've done everything I can. There's nothing else to do. And then gets up and leaves. Like, I get that you won out. Right. And I understand that sports are a different type of business. But this is just from one adult to another.
Sure.
I can't speak to James Harden as an NBA player because I'm not an NBA player. I can speak to him as an adult, though.
Right.
Because I'm the same age as he is, which is weird to say out loud. As an adult, you mishandled that. So poorly, so bad. Did you mishandle this situation just as somebody who should just be an adult from that perspective? Right. Now, there was definitely tampering that was going on, right?
Yeah, and no doubt.
For people who are saying that like tampering might be a conspiracy with this trade, like it's not a conspiracy. It happened.
Right.
It really did. Because KD wanted Harden and Kyrie said no in the preseason. And that's why that trade didn't go down a couple months ago.
Yep.
Kyrie leaves, Harden gets traded. They moved Jared Allen because KD and Kyrie want DeAndre Jordan to be the starter because they're buddies and not Jared Allen. So that's why Jared's not starting, even though he should be.
Yep.
And then James Harden gets traded. And the same day James Harden gets announced to the Brooks, the next day, Kyrie comes out and says, yes, I'm going to come back to the Nets and it'll be business as usual. So it's like, there was tampering that happened in the offseason. KD said he wanted to play with Harden and Harden said he wanted to play with KD. So like when they pegged Kawhi for tampering or when they pegged Draymond Green for tampering on TNT saying that Devin Booker should come play for the Warriors, which I thought was hilarious.
Right.
Nothing will happen to James Harden for this, nope. Which is just shocking in my mind. But anyways, it was definitely tampering. And you could just look at the situation and go, I don't need to dig. I do not need to do any research on this.
Yes.
I was really excited when we were dealing him to the Nets for a couple reasons. As a Rockets fan and as an honest Rockets fan, because I've talked with some that aren't as much, and every fan base has them, we were not a contender this year. We were a playoff contender and nothing more. And that's just what we were. New head coach, new GM, new core group of players. It just was what it was, right? So the fact that we dealt him to the East, I have no problem with, because we're not going to see him anyways. The only time we'd see him is in the NBA Finals, and we definitely weren't getting there this year.
Right.
So I had no problem with us dealing him to the Nets. And also what I really enjoyed about us dealing him to the Nets was they had the most assets. Now, the Sixers had the best player that we could probably get back, but the Nets had the most assets that we could go after. So everybody was saying that the Rockets missed on this trade because it wasn't Ben Simmons. And while there is a little bit of merit to that, I think when you're a brand new GM and you are resetting with a brand new head coach and you have your hands on seven picks in the next 6 years that are all first rounders and they're all unprotected. That's a good place to start. We also get Dante Exum, who is a 25-year-old rotational depth player. We also get Rodions Kurix, which is one of the best names in the NBA running right now.
Correct.
A younger talent that can be developed into a rotational player for depth. And then we got Caris LeVert, which was an awesome get. And then we flipped him in a second rounder to the Pacers for Victor Oladipo, who wanted out. Which I really enjoyed the upgrade on that too, because I think it's safe to say that Victor Oladipo is an upgrade to Caris LeVert. I mean, I might get some backlash on that, but I think it's fair to say.
Okay, so the only thing I don't like about that trade is that flip. But go ahead, I'll give my thoughts at the end.
I like the flip because, and some people said, you know, why would you flip Caris LeVert for a guy like Oladipo who is on a one-year deal? Well, the answer is very simple. Victor Oladipo can come and play with a new organization, with a new coach, get a new feel, get out of Indiana, which he wanted to anyways. And if he doesn't want to come back, we just freed up. His contract is half of James Harden's.
Right. And he's a free agent at the end of this year.
So we've already freed up $21 million just by getting Harden off the books for Oladipo. And then if Oladipo leaves next year, we've cleared his $21 million off the books that he's going to make this year anyways. So now that frees us up to have unprotected picks at our leisure, a guy like Christian Wood and a guy like Boogie is going to come back and a guy like John Wall is going to lead a team. And we are now a little bit sexier for an elite talent or a very, very good talent that is looking to change organizations in the offseason.
Yeah. So the only thing I don't like about the trade for the Rockets is the Oladipo get. And it's not anything against Oladipo. It's because you're basically hoping that instead of getting a young, who I think Caris LeVert's going to end up being a very good star player, not a superstar player, but I think Caris LeVert's very good. He's been great filling in for Kyrie. He's been dropping no less than 20 points in his recent, like last five games or so, I believe. Mm-hmm. You can count on him for 20. He runs fine. Would he work with John Wall? It's hard for me to believe that anybody on the off guard position wouldn't work with John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, did you get a better player right now? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. With Oladipo, I mean, Oladipo is definitely a better defender. He's a pretty explosive scorer, which works really well with John Wall's freak athleticism that he still has. Even though people thought John Wall didn't have it, he still got it. I mean, Houston didn't lose the trade. I just wish they had kept Caris LeVert. Looking at, now as a Mavs fan, I don't have any problem at all with them not keeping Caris LeVert because Oladipo could be a rental. Regardless, though, what's nice for the Rockets is that cap space that you talked about, because if Oladipo does leave, there's no harm here because you have $40 million or whatever it was that Harden was getting to screw around with in the offseason and build around John Wall and Boogie and Christian Wood.
Yeah.
You know, I think their team is better. Oladipo is going to give you at least what Harden wasn't giving you. I mean, Harden was only giving you, you know, in the teens in points, 15, 17 points a game when he was wanting out. He doesn't play defense really, except sometimes. Oladipo always plays defense. He's a great defender. You get a little bit of scoring in Exum, even though he's, you know, erratic. But you do have all these picks. So Houston certainly didn't lose it.
Right.
The shocking thing to me is the Pacers and the Cavs who actually won the deal. The Cavs won this trade to me. They got Jared Allen and Torian Prince. Now you can either keep Andre Drummond or you can let him go. You can let his deal expire at the end of the season and get a bunch of cap space. Mm-hmm. You got Torian Prince, who's a good defender and a very cheap contract at at the wing. You have Colin Sexton, Darius Garland there. And now you have an ability to potentially move Kevin Love, Andre Drummond. What's the other center that's there? Larry Nance Jr., JaVale McGee.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you have these five pieces here, and now it's now I have Jared Allen. I have six big men.
Yeah.
What can I get for Andre Drummond? Maybe I'll be willing to take a little bit less now and flip him, get him off the books because I have a starter in Jared Allen. What can I get for Kevin Love?
Yeah.
Or will I accept less? Now the Cavs are in this nice position where they can take less than they want it. Or get maybe a little bit more because you can package a couple of guys together and you're still okay. And the Pacers got Caris LeVert in a second round pick in 2023. So the Pacers did nothing and ended up getting rid of Oladipo, who wasn't coming back anyway. Sure. You get a young star to replace him to go next to Brogdon and Sabonis. Mm-hmm. So they get better. It's going to be interesting. LeVert is injury prone. He's not a great shooter, but it's nice that they have somebody. They're not losing Oladipo because it's hard to get someone to go play for the Pacers.
Yes. Yeah. And I believe LeVert is still under contract to the end of this year as well, or through the end of this year, I think to the end of next year or the year after.
Yeah. But he'll be easier to re-sign because people aren't going to jump through hoops to get this injury prone guard.
Right. But also in the same way that, like you said, in the same way that the Rockets kind of won because they got a good player on a rental, the Pacers won because they got a young, talented player on a contract that they own and that they can manipulate, right? Like they've got a couple years to figure out what they need to do with him. It's not just something that they have to scatter around for in a couple of months and try and find a deal. They've got something a little more concrete, which is what they wanted. And I love that you brought up the point, like this Cavs team can now move off of Drummond and Kevin Love in the next couple weeks because they'll find somebody that wants to take on Andre Drummond. I can almost guarantee it. And they can move Kevin Love for something. Cap is going to hurt a little bit with Love, but they can find a fringe contender that would need a guy like Kevin Love, I'm sure.
Right.
And then that puts Jared Allen as a starting center, which I feel like he should be. I don't feel like he ever should have sat behind DeAndre Jordan, but whatever. I think all around, I think every team won except for the Nets.
Oh, yeah, the Nets lost this trade. I don't care that they got James Harden.
Because on paper, that Nets starting five is dirty, right? Like, if you look at that starting five on paper, you are like, oh, my God, that five is awesome. And you should think that. You really should.
Sure.
But to have two head cases like Harden and Kyrie, and then to give up eight picks – mm-hmm. Eight unprotected picks now. You've mortgaged your future again for the second time in 13 years. Mortgaged your future. The last time you did this with the Celtics, and the Celtics turned it into Jason Tatum, Brown, and Smart. So now if you're the Rockets, you're like, all right, well, the last time they did this, that's what the Celtics ended up with. If we end up with half of that, that's a win. Plus all the young talent that they have. And I want to go back to another point too. Like you said about Oladipo fitting in with the Rockets. I think he does fit in better with the Rockets than LeVert because Oladipo's got some dog in him. And he's one of those guys he's a scrappy dude. And I think that this Rockets team is trying to build a mentality around just being dogs and just scrapping and fighting and trying to come away with some wins. And I think he fits the mentality and what Silas is trying to build there better.
Yeah.
And if we re-sign him, you've got John Wall and Victor Oladipo as your 1-2. That's not bad.
Yeah,
mid-level guys that are going to want to come and play with that.
It's the first of the big blockbuster trades, and it deserved that lengthy conversation about it. We have to talk about the Nets. Before we talk about the Nets and their futures, Cam does a show called The Sports Market where we talk about the Symbol Exchange, Symbol app. You have a little thing here, if you're watching on the video, shows you symbol.app/shootsportsish. We have a homepage here where if you go to that app or you even just go and use the code shootsportsish, you can get a free share. This is a stock market simulation type thing, but there's actually money. So I say simulation as in you're not buying like Wall Street stocks. You're buying NBA stocks right now. They have NFL stock market still going, and you buy and sell. You get dividends paid out for every win that your team has. Lower shares, you know, if you want to buy into like the Hornets, because LaMelo Ball is looking good and like the rookie of the year running away with it right now, you want to buy into the Pacers, Rockets, any of these teams that are making moves, you can. You go check it out. It's updated every day. There's buying and trading, and they are taking off and getting a lot of business there. So get in now before some of these shares get really high, because there's a lot of people buying into this market right now. Check them out. They're good buds of ours. We love being partnered with them. They hit the ground running with us at the same time, and their dedication is showing a lot of really hard work, and they're doing a great job. I think they have a great concept, and you should check them out. Let's talk about the Pacers. Let's talk about the Nets. Charles Barkley last night called them the Dribble Brothers. So KD went from the Splash Brothers to the Dribble Brothers. And that's an exaggeration, that's right? Crazy. Like, it's very good, but let's not
act. That's an exaggeration.
Okay, so he's exaggerating, obviously, because he's Charles Barkley, and it's for comedic purposes. Well, let's not forget that James Harden is a gifted passer. He is a very good passer. When he wants to pass, he's great at passing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not worried about the Harden-KD dynamic. We know that works. We've seen it before. Yeah. Harden and KD are going to work together much better than Westbrook and Harden work together, because like KD will just get open and he needs the ball. He just needs the ball for like 3 or 4 seconds to get his shot. He's got like a 95-foot reach, so he's going to get a shot wherever.
That's true.
He doesn't have to drive to the hoop or whatever. He can spot up. And KD's game is so versatile that he'll work with whoever they need him to work with.
Yeah.
There was concerns he wouldn't work with Clay and Steph because of the way their game plays, and we were wrong. They'll be fine. Harden will pass like a motherfucker to KD. Mm-hmm. Kyrie is my concern. Kyrie is also a gifted passer.
Mm.
And he's a good creator. But he is way more ball dominant than I think people realize. He's very ball dominant, and that's where the issue is going to be, because he's a huge personality. He's probably not going to be happy, and because he's not going to be happy, I think you have some concerns about how he, and maybe he will be, I don't know. Nobody knows how Kyrie thinks, but what happens when Harden and Durant get mad that Kyrie's holding the ball too long? Because that's going to happen.
This one's going to be really tough, because if you go back and you look at the big threes when they were put together, right, you see Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett, right? Let's say they were the ones that started it. Let's just say they were the ones that started
it. In the modern era, I'd say they started it. I think that's
absolutely
fair.
Ray Allen's a catch-and-shoot guy.
Right.
Paul Pierce doesn't need the ball. Kevin Garnett didn't need the ball. They needed a guy like Rondo to really fill that out.
Right.
They melded together beautifully.
Right.
LeBron, Wade, and Bosch is perfect. Right. LeBron takes over when he needs to. Dwayne Wade's the primary ball handler until the fourth quarter. Chris Bosch did everything he needed to do to change his game to make sure that worked and extended what he needed to do. Everybody's happy with it. Obviously, it worked out really well.
Right.
Then Durant and Clay and Steph was just so pretty to watch them play basketball together, because Clay is such a catch and shoot guy.
Right.
Steph can carry the ball, but he doesn't really need to. He can make those passes when he needs to. He defers well. KD also defers well, and he's not a primary ball handler anyways.
Right.
So you look at all of those big threes that kind of – the real actual big threes. Every team now has their own big three, and 31 of those teams are lying. But you look at this team and you go, this just doesn't make a lot of sense. Because – and I feel bad, and I think I told you this – on Twitter, but it may have been somebody else. I hate the fact that we don't talk about how good Kyrie is.
No, we don't. No. Because I talked about that with one of my students today, actually.
Because of how much because of the antics he has on camera and off camera that make it on camera.
Right.
We don't talk about just how purely good Kyrie Irving is at basketball. Kyrie is an elite ball handler. He might be one of the best ball handlers ever.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He's a really, really good passer.
Yeah.
And he's probably better than anybody else at finishing at the rim for his size. He is so good at finishing at the rim. He is an all-time great rim guy. And it just pains me that we don't talk about that, because that guy is very good at basketball.
Yeah, he sure is.
If he's on his A game, I don't know outside of Steph if there's a better point guard in the league than him.
Let's not forget he and LeBron once both went off for 40 in a finals game together.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. When Kyrie is locked in, outside of Steph, I don't know if I'd take another point guard over him. It'd be a conversation. We'll say that. It'll be a conversation outside of Steph. But you're right. He is a true to form point guard. So he starts every possession with the ball, because that's what point guards do. So I'm not worried about him being the primary ball handler. He is the point guard. when you throw Harden into the mix, that's when it gets weird. And to your point of what you were saying, I completely agree with you, because Harden is somebody that absolutely needs the ball. When he doesn't have the ball, he actually doesn't really know what to do. Like, he does, but he doesn't really do it, I guess. We'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a slash and cut guy. He doesn't screen for anybody.
No, he's an ISO guy.
He is. He's an ISO guy that stands on the wing. He doesn't do any cut-throughs. He doesn't do any fade screens. People don't normally back screen for him. And God forbid he sets a back screen for one of his teammates. So I'm not really sure fundamentally how that is going to play out. And that, what you said, is also my biggest question. KD can
There's play no with concern anybody. With KD. KD no, will be fine.
KD and LeBron can play with anybody on the planet. They've proven
right. it. You know why they can do that?
Because they're so good.
Because they set screens. They set back screens. They dive to the rim when they need to. They pop. They'll set a pick and pop out for a jump shot when they need to. Like, you don't. It doesn't matter with Kevin mm-hmm. Durant, right? Like, just throw the ball to him. He'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think that to watch that is going to be weird. I still think that they're going to win the East because I just don't know who else can deal with that kind of firepower at the end. But I would not, I don't know. I just don't know. I think it's hard to bet against that three.
Sure.
Just because it is those three guys and they're all really good at basketball.
So I still think they're the fourth best team in the East.
Wow. Even four. Okay.
Yeah, they don't have any. They have literally zero bigs. They have no bigs.
I'm talking about they have DeAndre Jordan. What do you mean?
They have no bigs. I think the Celtics are a much better team than them. They're going to be a much better team defensively too. Jason Tatum is going to get eaten by KD, but he'll do enough to keep the ball out of KD's hands enough that they're going to, if they face each other in a playoff series, you're going to have to deal with Kyrie and Harden and, oh, hey, guess what? They have Marcus Smart. Oh, hey, guess what? They have Jalen Brown. Oh, hey, guess what? Kemba and Kyrie will cancel each other out because neither of them play defense, really.
Kyrie's a better defender than Harden is.
Kyrie is a better defender than Harden. He's probably a better defender than Kemba, too. But he's still, these aren't defensive studs here.
Oh, yeah.
You're also going to have some chemistry issues with this team. Not even just the guys on the court, but Kyrie doesn't want to play for Steve Nash. That's pretty clear, which is crazy to be a point guard and not want to play for one of the best point guards that ever dribbled a ball on the court. But you do you, man. Like, I assume it's because they're mad that they didn't take a look at a black head coach instead of a white head coach, which I get. I think that's Kyrie's very interested in social justice reform and all of these things that truly matter off the basketball court. And that's fantastic. And no one should ever hate that man for that. If he truly took this break, and I think he took the break because of the U.S. Capitol marching last week, knowing that if he and his basketball playing friends, who all happen to be black, were to go and raid the Capitol last week, we don't, the outcome would probably been different. And if he took a break because of that, I think that we should not ever judge that man for feeling that way, because it's warranted and it's fine. And his feelings are valid, whether we agree with them or not. But I think that there is going to be animosity between him and Steve Nash. You can already kind of hear it in Steve Nash when they ask him about Kyrie. And that's, to me, that just makes me worry about them when they play against a team like the Celtics. This Milwaukee Bucks team that I saw last tonight. Now, mind you, I have concerns about them, even though they are 9-4 and look pretty good. They did just struggle with a Mavericks team that had its three of its best players sitting out because of COVID. No Josh Richardson, no Kleber, and no Jalen Brunson. And they still could have and probably should have lost that game. And then the Sixers are playing good ball too. Joel Embiid looks like an MVP candidate. Ben Simmons can, he can play some defense too. Tobias Harris is still looking good. I just don't think the Nets are as good as those other three teams. I'm a little worried about having that take because this is what people thought about the Miami Heat when they got together too. And then, look, they made it to the finals.
Yeah.
But I just think this is different. This is like this Eastern Conference is really tough.
It is. It's much tougher than it has been, and that's very true. I will say this, though, as far as your Miami take, yes, but again, the scenario was a little bit different.
You had players that made sense together.
The players that made sense together, yes. And also, I think they had the right role players in the, for the right situations. The Nets are going to come down to the role players.
Right.
Because you know what those big three guys are going to do.
Right.
If, listen, if there is a game this year where all three of them go for 35 points, nobody is going to bat an eye.
Nobody's going to bat an eye.
If there's a game,
and they're going to score 130 points.
Exactly. And nobody will bat an eye. But the biggest question for them is going to be the role players around them, which LeBron and Wade were and Spo and Riley were very good at putting the right pieces around those three guys that made the most sense. So that's the biggest question now is, will the Nets role players accept their new role of being pushed way down to the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a very interesting conversation. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference a little bit here.
Sure.
We'll talk about the West. We're just going to touch on it. I mean, look, we're 11 games into the season, 13 for some teams, kind of all over the place. As happens, COVID year or not, that's where you're at in the NBA. It happens. Hard to keep up week to week. The Celtics haven't played in a while. I don't actually know when the next time they play. Oh, they did. They played today. I'm tripping. They played today and they beat. They beat the snot out of the Magic. They won 124-97.
Mm-hmm.
That man Jason Tatum is not back yet, and they still did that. That's impressive stuff, actually. Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum did not play today, and they still won by that much. That is wild.
Yeah.
That Celtics team is really good. They're really, really good. They're playing outstanding basketball before they had to take a forced COVID break. I truly think that the Celtics are the best team in the East. I think that there's a logjam. I think the Celtics, Bucks, and Sixers are very, very, very good in that conference. The Pacers look good too. Right now it's easy to say that it's the Celtics or the Bucks, but this Eastern Conference is as exciting as the West, and that rules.
Yes, it's so much better for the game when both conferences have reasons to talk about them other than LeBron.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, the Nets right now are the 5 seed. They would play the Pacers. That would be
I don't think they win that series.
It would be very interesting because, again, the Nets have lost Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. Now, if you had James Harden and Jared Allen or Caris LeVert, I think that's a very different story.
Sure.
But now that you've lost all of your depth, your would-be depth.
Right.
That's a lot of question marks that are there. The Hawks are at 7. Cleveland's the 8th seed, and now they just picked up Jared Allen and maybe can do and Torian Prince and can do a little bit of maneuvering. The Hornets are sitting there tied with the Cavs, but they're on the outside looking in. Philly's got Doc Rivers back. Doc is back in the East. He's figuring stuff out with Simmons and Embiid. They're playing better together.
What a shock that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons would look really good with an actual good coach.
I know. Yeah. And people forget how good of a coach Doc Rivers is.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. The Bucks, they have Giannis, and the Celtics have a really good team. What's interesting to me is the Heat right now at 4-6.
They're a little disappointed
out of the gate. They really are, especially for making it to the finals last year. A little disappointed. They are in talks right now for a Bradley Beal trade. I don't know. I can't say I'm for that trade. If I'm Miami,
I am. Here's why. Well, it depends on who they give up for it, is the thing.
Well, it stands right now that they would give up a Chunwa.
Yeah.
Robinson, Hero, and picks.
See, I don't love them getting rid of Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson for Bradley Beal. That's too much for me. I think you need to keep one of those two. I think if you make a move where you lose both of them, then it's a terrible trade.
Well, we were having this conversation in one of our Twitter groups tonight too. With those three guys on the Heat, I'm getting more production than what Bradley Beal is offering me, and I'm getting it at almost half the price.
Now, you need to put some respect on the leading scorer right now, because Bradley Beal is averaging 35 points a game.
There's nothing wrong with Bradley Beal. But if I'm Miami, I've seen Bradley Beal play with a good guard in the East with minimum, sure. Supporting cast. And if Miami gives up Achiuwa, Robinson, and Hero and picks, they are putting Bradley Beal in a situation where he's playing with a better guard with minimal supporting cast. I've seen this movie. It doesn't end sure. well.
Now, yeah, I mean, it's Bradley, like Bradley Beal playing the way he is isn't exactly winning any games right now either. But you're also talking about they lose Achiuwa, but they still you're putting him on a team. Now, I don't love them giving up Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, but it's not minimal role players. You're going to have Bradley Beal come in, and he's going to start next to Goran Dragic. So you have the Dragon, you have Bradley Beal, I would imagine, or Avery Bradley, one of those two. It's either Dragic or Bradley starting, which, hey, that ain't so bad. Jimmy Butler at the three. Then you have Bam Adebayo, who's disappointing this year. You still have Myers Leonard, who think what you want about him, but whatever. Kelly Olynyk. And then you also have Maurice Harkless, and you still have Dallas Haslam doesn't actually play. Andre Iguodala.
Again, minimal role players.
I don't consider Dragic a minimal role player. I think he's an outstanding role player.
But if I give up Achiuwa, Robinson, and Hero, has my bench gotten drastically worse? And the answer is
you would have to get something else from the Wizards. You cannot just get Bradley Beal.
But that's what I mean. The answer is yes. If those three guys walk out of the Miami Heat locker room today, you've gotten drastically sure. worse. Can Bradley Beal fill what those three guys do? And the other thing, too, that people have to take into consideration is, even though they're 4-6 and they're off to a rough start, that rotation is set. Everybody's hurt. If you pull up their depth chart right now, there's O's everywhere.
Sure.
And DDs everywhere. The rotation is set, and that's the part that scares me the most. Yeah. They figured out the rotation. They figured out the minutes. They've understood the fluidity of their play. If Hero and Robinson and Achiuwa leave and Bradley Beal comes in, you have affected the rotation. You have affected the fluidity of that team, and I don't right. know if it's a better effect. That's what I'm saying.
You also have the Wizards, where they would be making a move that would have them start trying to build around a Russell Westbrook, who is not at all the player he once was. I mean, he's definitely not the player he was 3 years ago. Sure. He's a very different player. And then you have Thomas Bryant, who's out for the year. The Wizards have some talent on this team. I mean, without Bradley Beal, you still have Westbrook. You still have Hachimura. You still have Thomas Bryant looking in years forward. And then that's kind of it. Bertans, right. I guess, is fairly good.
But again, then you get Achiuwa, Robinson, and Tyler Hero, which would immediately make the Wizards better. So if yeah. I'm the Wizards, I do this deal immediately.
Sure,
if I'm
yeah.
the Heat, I don't do this deal.
Yeah. Yeah, but no doubt. I mean,
if
yeah.
I'm the
yeah.
Wizards, of course I deal Bradley Beal for that package. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
Harden got 8 picks and 1 player and 3 players, 2 right. from the Nets though, or 1 from the Nets. 2 were from the Cavs, because Exum and Keurig came from the Cavs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Harden got 8 picks and 1 player. If I can get 3 picks and 3 players for Bradley Beal, of course I do that trade.
Yeah. You know, I was going to be excited to talk about the Knicks, but the Knicks went to 5-5, then they lost 5 straight. So I guess they came back to earth. But I'm still
excited to talk about the Knicks.
I'm excited about mostly just Julius Randle, who is not getting any love at all right now for most improved player. I just yeah. looked up his odds on odds are things that I do at school for special ed students.
Sure.
Julius Randle is still at plus 1600. I mean, he's pretty far behind most improved player. Now, mind you, Christian Wood is probably running away with that award because he is playing some damn good basketball. But Julius Randle is averaging 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists right now.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson is not getting very much love at all for Defensive Player of the Year. He's averaging 2 blocks and a steal and a half a game.
Yeah.
It is so strange to me with the Knicks. They're 5-8. they had a pretty tough schedule here recently. They lost five straight. Losing to the Knicks is rough, but they lost to the Nets, lost to the Hornets, lost to the Nuggets, lost to the Thunder. They probably should have won two of those five games.
Well, and three of the five that they've lost, they've scored under 90.
Yeah.
So they weren't getting the offensive production that they needed either.
No. But they're, No. But this is also a team that beat the Bucks by 20 points early in the season. So,
yeah.
Tom Thibodeau has come in, and clearly the Knicks may not be a playoff team.
Yeah.
But they clearly got better. RJ Barrett is shooting poorly from three. That's really hurting them a lot. Mm-hmm. But this team, I was excited about him when they got Obi Toppin. He's been injured, so we haven't seen much from him. But Austin Rivers has come in there and played good ball for him. Mitchell Robinson's improving greatly, looking pretty good. And Julius Randle, man. Good for Julius Randle.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've always been a fan of Julius Randle and how he plays. Happy to see him there. I think this was going to be a process.
Sure.
For this Knicks team. And nobody even thought that they were going to sniff a playoff spot this year, much less already have five wins. So right. I kind of think that Thibodeau's oddly already ahead of schedule with five wins in the first 13 games.
I agree with you.
They've five wins in the first 13 games, I think, is ahead of schedule for this year. I think Thibodeau is going to continue to implement the stuff that he wants. He still is short on firepower, and I don't think that's crazy to say. I think a lot of people know that, but this team is getting better. This team is getting better. I'd like to see more production from Austin Rivers because he gave the Rockets such good production last year.
Yeah.
So to be able to see him come into a team like the Knicks where he should be able to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
He's playing about 20, almost 30 minutes a game right now, which is awesome.
Yeah. He's coming in for Elfrid Hayton too, isn't he?
Yeah. Just under 12 points and just under three assists a game. Would like to see a little bit more from him if you're getting almost 30. Yeah. If you're getting almost 30 minutes a game, but there's some talent here that needs to be figured out, and they're going to be a lower end East team, but they're getting better, and you can just kind of see that.
Yeah, if they can get better, land in the top 15 in the lottery again, in the top 10, which they there's a lot of bad teams this year. In the East, the league got better, but the bottom of the league got worse. It's bizarre. Not really, actually, that's how it works. But the Knicks are going to be interesting. This is what I think the Knicks need to do, and I think they're on track to do it. They just have to get better. Thibs has to get his stuff going. We have, they're going to end up being a good defensive team that isn't going to outscore a lot of people, but they're going to grind the game out. That's the game that's what he coached in Chicago. That's what he'll coach here, and that's fine. You'll have grit that will match the city of New York, which is really nice for the city. And what I think they need to do is they just need to win. Let's see, there's 72 games. Give me 20 to 25 wins. I think 20 to 25 wins would be a nice number for them. If you can get above that and get like maybe up to 30 wins, then you're talking about in a world where hopefully COVID fucks off, then New York City is, we just heard from the governor of New York the other day. He wants to open back up, get the arts going. You're going to start getting these things going again where people are going to want to live in the city. Mm-hmm. And in a world, in a country that we live in where nobody's been able to do much of anything for over almost a year now, you might be able to attract some young star that's playing in a city like Indianapolis or playing somewhere where there was nothing to do anyway, except when they were on the road. And now they're like, nah, man, I lost a year of my life not being able to do anything. I want to live in New York City so I can do dope stuff, go to clubs, go to bars, go to shows and do this cool stuff and be a young, rich NBA player in the Big Apple. Yeah. You just need to make New York City attractive to someone else because the team looks like they're improving. And I think they can do it this year. Yeah. Especially if Julius Randle keeps playing this way, then you also have, hey, Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle. What a great team down low. Come on, come play, be our point guard and think about all those rebounds those guys are going to get and putbacks and make you look really good even when you miss shots.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And the Knicks have some interesting questions that they have to answer at the end of this year, because, and I'm not kidding, half of their roster's contract is up this year.
And it's intentional, for sure.
Yeah, Gibson, Payton, Nerlens, Alec Burks, Reggie Bullock, Dennis Smith Jr., and Frank Ntilikina are all done at the end of this year.
And there are only two of those guys they'll re-sign.
Probably.
They'll re-sign Burks and they'll re-sign Payton. Probably. And I bet they let everyone else walk.
I think of the group, I do think you're right and only two get signed. I don't know which two right now, because you got a guy like Alec Burks who's injured right now. He's going to be 30 when you re-sign him. Reggie Bullock will be 30 when you re-sign him. Do you really want to re-sign those guys at 30? I don't know. Nerlens is still only 26, but he feels like he's 47 because he feels like he's been in the league since I've been a child.
Yeah.
But it would be very interesting, but they have opportunities to open up even more cap space that would allow them to go, like you said, fine, become a sexy look for somebody that may not be an elite player, but they may be very good and they may be looking to go play with some good young talent.
Sure. Let's talk about the West. That's actually more conversation I think I thought we would have about the East, and that is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. The top eight in the East is going to be really fun.
Yes, the West is a cluster. Oh, boy. There are just a lot of really good teams in the West. I mean, the West is so good right now that Triple Jokic is actually on a playoff on a team sitting on the outside in, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. The Lakers are the best team in the NBA.
Weird. The best team last year got better in the offseason, and they're still good.
No, man, that was a Mickey Mouse ring, man. They didn't even really win that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
You're they're 7-0 away from home. They're 3-3 at home. They're losing at home right now to the
Pelicans. Which is a franchise Pelicans. Record for them. In a day and age of the Lakers, 7-0 away is the franchise record for them to start the year.
That's actually insanity. That's a Lakers record. That any Lakers record isn't like an astronomical win streak at on the road.
Yep.
That's crazy. The Lakers are starting to look a lot better too. You're starting to see Schroeder get involved. Alex Caruso came back from injury and he's starting to look pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of the West is interesting though. The Mavs are unhealthy, even though they just got Porzingis. So the Mavs will be a top four seed. They just got to get COVID stuff out of the way and they'll be fine. My Mavs have improved greatly on defense. Like probably the biggest improvement on defense of any of the good teams is what the Mavs have done. Because Luka's caring a little bit more, and that Josh Richardson guy is pretty damn good. The Blazers are 7-5. The Jazz are 7-4 and just are hammering a bad Atlanta team. I don't care that Atlanta is a playoff team. They're a bad team, and Trae Young is not a star you can build around. The Clippers are 8-4, and I think the Clippers are a bad 8-4, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, they're just, again, they're just kind of 8-4 by Kawhi and Paul George, which any team that has Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on it should be a top two or three seed in the regular season. Like that, they just should be. There's not anything weird about that.
Right.
When they get into postseason play is different, but it's just kind of lumbering along in the West. Like nobody is talking about the Lakers being 10-3, and nobody's really talking about the Clippers being 8-4 because it's just two really good LA teams that are at the top of the table, and that's just how it is.
Right.
My favorite part is from the third best team in the West to the 12th best team in the West are three games apart.
I know, it's awesome. God, I love the Western Conference.
There are five teams that are 6-6 or that have 6 wins right now.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be insanity if they stay like this for the rest of the season.
And here's the beautiful thing. You and I talked about this because last time we did an episode was like right around when the season started, but Clay was hurt. And you and I both have agreed this whole season, we've been telling people left and right in group messages, hey, chill out about the Warriors being bad when they were bad for like 2 weeks. They are going to be challenging or a playoff team.
Sure.
And you know what? If Kelly Oubre can ever figure out his jump shot, which he will,
Right.
Draymond Green is, I can't stand his game, but respect to him because he might actually be the most important player on that team.
Oh yeah. I think he's been the, he has been the most important player on that team for their entire run. I think
like he's not the most productive, but there's something that he does that makes him so good. And this Warriors team, before they lost back-to-back games to a good a really good Pacers team and a really good Nuggets team, I mean, they're 6-4 beating the Clippers and coming back from 20 down, which was an insane game.
Yeah. Beating
the Raptors. I mean, and they've beat the Blazers. They've, you know, they've not beaten any good teams besides the Blazers and the Clippers. But I just don't think they're that bad of a team. I think they're actually pretty all right.
Yeah, I think they're good. I think they're young and they're trying to figure it out. And when everybody was saying about Klay going down, the problem is Oubre and Wiggins have to figure themselves out because those are the two guys that are taking over what Klay's production was. Yeah. And one is used to playing on the second team and is now playing first team with the other one. And they just have to get each other figured out. Now, when Klay comes back next year, this Golden State Warriors team isn't just going to be good. Now they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah, because Wiseman is looking awesome and better every game.
Right, and especially if they keep Wiggins or if they flip him for more talent and they and Oubre settles in to what will eventually be the go-to guy of the second string, he'll, you know, he'll probably start, but he'll be the go-to guy of the second string, which is fine.
Sure.
That team's going to get really good. But yeah, you know, people just needed to calm down on the Warriors. The fact that the Nuggets are on the outside looking in and the Phoenix Suns are the fourth seed, I think it's hilarious. Who knew that Chris Paul was going to make a good team better, right? Shocking.
Yeah, wow.
I think of the teams that aren't in the Western Conference, I think once the Rockets kind of settle in and all of their players get in and they get figured out, I think the Rockets can be a team that contends for a 7 or 8 seed.
Sure.
Just had a really good win against San Antonio where we literally started like players 5 through 10.
Sure.
Not really. I say that. But a really thrown together roster for that game against San Antonio was able to pull off a win in which Jayshon Tate kind of introduced himself to the NBA and people are starting to fall in love with him who've never heard of him before, which they should. But I like the Rockets when they settle in and they get healthy, they'll be very interesting. Minnesota's, by all counts, probably going to move Cat by the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty interesting. And for the love of everything, I want the Kings to be good.
Man, the Kings are weird.
I so want them to be good, though. You know,
I don't know if you follow Rob, what's his damn name? He's one of the bigger NBA Twitter guys. He does a bunch with FanDuel, but it's Wob is what he goes by. Worldwide Wob on Twitter. He said the other day that the Sacramento Kings are either the team that defeated the Monstars or the Looney Tunes without Michael Jordan.
That's a really great comparison.
Like he's like, they either look like they could beat the 98 Bulls or they look like they just aren't good at all.
Or, yeah, right.
Like they've beat the Nuggets twice. They beat the Nuggets. They've beaten the Nuggets, the Suns, and the Pacers.
Yeah.
For their 5 wins, win the Bulls. That's pretty insane.
I mean, that's so crazy what's happening in the West.
Uh-huh.
There's a chance. I mean, by the time this all shakes out, there's a chance that the Mavericks or the Nuggets could not be in the playoffs this year.
There's a chance.
Crazy. No, and again, we're like 15 games in, so I understand what I'm saying. It's kind of crazy, but
right.
If you look at kind of how everything's gone, and it's just going to be a wonky year for everybody.
Sure.
Everybody's going to have players hurt or on COVID every game. And if teams can't figure out how to get through the craziness and it stays, that's what I meant, is if it stays this crazy all season,
sure,
we could have a team like the Nuggets or the Mavericks or the Warriors again or the Blazers or somebody be on the outside looking in because of the craziness of this season.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the season shakes out for sure, because we also don't really know what the scheduling is going to be like right now. And they're this weird schedule. They're the same teams are playing each other back to back a lot, kind of like a preseason,
yeah,
which I don't hate actually. I kind of like it.
Yeah, that's actually what some college divisions are doing.
Yeah.
They'll send you to go play somebody, and you'll play back-to-back games, and it'll be in the same spot, but one's the home and one's the home for both games, and then they come back.
Yeah, I don't hate that, actually. I think it's a really interesting way to do the league, and I think it's inventive and creative.
In a league where there are no fans allowed, I think that's fine.
Right. If there's fans, like, how do you get the arena full every single night? Like,
if there was fans and you're asking the road team to be the home team on a back-to-back, that'd be weird.
Yeah.
But if there's no fans or anything, I am fine with that. It doesn't make it weird.
I really quickly just want to run down the stats leaders. I don't think we need to go into an in-depth discussion about it. It's way too early to even talk about MVP. There's just no reason to even have the conversation 15 games in, I don't think. Right now, your scoring leaders top five. You have Bradley Beal at 35 points a game. Oh, Chef Curry is at 28.4. Zach LaVine looks incredible for a bad Bulls team, but yeah, he's scoring 27.7. The leading scorer for the Blazers is CJ McCollum, and I am happy for him because that dude rules.
Yes.
And Luka's bringing up the rear at 27.4 points per game.
Yeah.
It's interesting how Luka's the only young guy, or I guess Zach LaVine is too. He's the only young guy in the top five in scoring, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond is the same. People are always the rebounding leaders. We have Andre Drummond at 15, Gobert at 13, Clint Capella at 13, Sabonis at 13, and Joel Embiid at 11.5. The whatever position they ask him to play from Harvard center, from Slovenia, Nikola Jokic is your assist leader, tied with James Harden at 10.4 assists a game. Chris Paul's at 9. Trey Young and Luka bring up the rear there at 8.5 and 8.3. Miles Turner's averaging 4 blocks a game. That's Gobert, insane. 2.6. Chris Boucher from Toronto's 2.5. Mitchell Robinson, 1.9. Your boy Christian Wood, 1.8. And then those statistical things are just interesting to me because the defensive team, the defensive stats lean towards the younger dudes, but the scoring is the older guys. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah. It is very interesting. And I think I also saw a stat here too, that the top 1 and 2 and 3 point percentage so far this year, the Curry brothers.
Seth Curry was number one by a ton.
Yeah. And Steph is number two.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
No,
that doesn't surprise me at all. No, it's that, you know, I get why my Mavs moved Seth Curry, and I think we did just fine in that trade because we needed Josh Richardson way more than we needed the offensive production from Seth. But I really like Seth Curry's game. I really, really like Seth Curry a lot. I was sad we traded him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was the right move. The Mavs needed defense more than they needed Seth being the best 3-point shooter. Like Steph Curry's not the best 3-point shooter in the game. It's his brother Seth, and who would have ever guessed that?
Yeah, right. That's weird.
Like, it's definitely Seth is the best 3-point shooter, just straight up 3-point shooter. But it's just a crazy thing.
I feel like we should have guessed that knowing who their father is. I feel like we're not smart that we didn't connect those dots earlier.
Well, okay. So I think that it makes sense that they're both 1 and 2 or 1, 2 or 3. It's just strange that it's Seth that's the better of the two, because Seth was like a dude that played for Duke and was not really a name that was going to be a big guy.
Yeah. Right now, for sure. Yeah.
I think Seth actually shot a better percentage than Steph did at the beginning of the year last year too. I think he's just a better pure shooter. He just doesn't offer much else besides just shooting.
Interesting. That's an interesting. It's an interesting conversation.
Like, not a better scorer. Steph is the much better scorer. I think Seth is just a better jump shooter.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, I think that there is probably a razor thin margin between their just actual jump shooting, not scoring. Steph is one of the best scorers, most creative scorers, and one of the best dudes dribbling and driving to the rim.
Well, I still think Steph is a better shooter too.
I don't know.
I think Seth has closed the gap in the last 2 years. But if you're going to ask me, who do I want taking a shot right now?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's Steph. Yeah, Yeah, yeah.
Steph is a better shooter, but it's awesome to see the two brothers are leading the NBA right now.
And let's just be honest here. If you had them both go into a three-point shooting contest with no fans in the arena, they probably tie.
Yeah, they probably each make 100 in a row.
Right. Like, they literally probably just tie, and they're like, oh my God, it's time for lunch. We've been doing this since 6 a.m., and now it's 1 p.m.
Yeah, and like, then we've been
shooting so many threes.
Yeah, and then dad walks into the gym and puts both of them to shame and walks out. Yeah, no, I think that's really cool that they are where they are. I think I'm surprised that Bradley Beal is scoring at the click that he's scoring right now.
I am too, because he plays with Westbrook, who really likes to score typically, but Westbrook's been injured for a few games now.
Well, and also Bradley Beal's never really been the guy to get 30-plus every night. He's good, don't get me wrong, but I never saw him as a guy that could average 35. I never saw that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't either.
But averaging like 25 isn't anything to slouch at. So I'm not like cutting him down or anything. I didn't think Bradley had it in him to average 35 points a game. That's nuts to average 35 points a game.
No, I agree with you. Before we get out of here, let me put in one more sponsor here. We are also partnered with the Thrive app that you see up above me. And Thrive Fantasy is pretty cool. I was doing pretty well in that for a while. I actually won like $60 over Christmas during NBA Christmas and launch there. But what you do is you bet over and unders. That's all you do. So it's basically like prop betting, but you go in and it does it by fantasy points. So it's a daily fantasy game. You can play at the NFL this weekend for wild card week, not divisional playoff weekend. You can play it this weekend or every single day for basketball, golf tournaments. I think they have hockey on there as well. I haven't played hockey yet.
Hockey's back.
Yeah, hockey is back. And we have our NHL podcast that launched this week too. And then you also have soccer, all sorts of stuff. But you go in there and it'll do things like Luka Doncic over 30 and a half points or under, and you get points for each one you get right. Then your points total ranks you and you win money. They have contests as low as like a 25 cents sometimes, up to, if you want to be a high roller, $5,000 entry. So it just depends on how much you want to play. You can win money pretty easily. I've won like $60 on a contest before that I bought into for $2. But if you download it, you shoot Sports-ish, they will match your deposit up to $20. So you put in $20, they give you $20. Boom, you have $40 to play. It's completely legal in most states, including Texas and Florida, which, as we, Cam and I both can tell you, we have to use overseas bookies to like legit bet. So take advantage of these cool things, because it's like, it's just as legal and awesome as DraftKings, as FanDuel, but it's just a different kind of fantasy game. So check it out. Download the app, go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, download Thrive Fantasy, use Shoot Sports Ish, get that $20 credit. I got nothing else I want to add, buddy. We'll try to do this podcast at least bi-weekly. Try to get it in here. If you guys haven't listened to the other podcasts, I had a 2-month mental breakdown, like a nervous breakdown, and so I had to take a huge step away from content creating. Had nothing to do with content I was creating. Just think I had my low 30s crisis, Cam.
Okay.
I'm not going to call it a midlife crisis, because age expectancy in the United States is like 80 years old. So
yeah.
But I definitely had I think I realized that I'm a 30-year-old father, and I was like, oh my God, I'm broken.
Oh, well, you're not.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome, man.
But I'm back now, and we'll be doing a lot more content. Anything you want to add before we get out?
No, the sports market airs every Monday. I have a written article that comes out every Friday.
Yep.
Check out our guys at symbol.app. They're good people.
Yes, they are. They're killing the game, doing a great job, and we appreciate them for giving us a little bit of a rub, too, on our content. So check out the site. We're going to have some more stuff up. I have a show concept I'm going to talk about with Cam off air here in a second, and we will see you next time. For Cam, I'm Tony. Sub, like, share. We'll see you next time.